is the Bob Frantz Authority. Here's the authority himself, Bob Frantz.
And hour number two is underway at 10:08. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning for the Bob Frantz Authority on AM 1420, The Answer. It is the 14th morning of the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2015. Thanks again to Congressman Jim Jordan for the time. Really great, important information discussed there, as is what is to come. You listen to the show with any regularity at all, you know how often we speak about law enforcement, particularly in the time that we find ourselves right now. It is an absolute war zone out there, police officers. The backdrop for the conversation I'm about to have is a terrible one. Another police officer shot and killed in the line of duty. A Kentucky state trooper murdered after 10 o'clock last night, about 10:20 local time, in the course of a normal traffic stop. Shot and killed. Suspect has been arrested and is in custody now. But this is just becoming all too common. And it's why we talk often about Black Lives Matter being the dangerous, divisive organization that I believe it to be. We talk about the anti-police atmosphere being fostered by some of our biggest and leaders at the highest positions, including the President of the United States. What can we do about it? Joining us now is Dr. Ron Martinelli. Dr. Martinelli is a PhD. He is a criminal forensic expert. He's a retired San Jose, California police detective as well, with a background in investigations. And he joins us now on the Bob Frantz Authority. Ron, Dr. Ron, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. I'm good, doctor. Thank you. And I appreciate you getting up early for us out there on the West Coast. Because what you have to say on your website is something that I want to share with people on the radio for those who don't have time to read it, perhaps. But the website is Dr. Ron Martinelli. It's spelled just as you would imagine that is, drronmartinelli.com. And I'm looking at several of the articles and posts that you have made, doctor, and I want to start with Black Lives Matter. This very divisive organization, and they have become an organization, it's no longer just a hashtag movement. It's an organization that I think has several different leaders and several different fronts. I've been describing it as being dangerous because rather than promoting lives, they are actually stating that only certain kinds of lives matter and that perhaps police lives do not, that white lives do not. It is a very dangerous organization, as you spelled out in one of your articles, the 10-point policing program that Black Lives Matter is proposing, and that it's not realistic. Please explain.
Well, you know, first of all, let's talk about the inception of the Black Lives Matter, because I think your listeners need to have some context. You know, first of all, let me say that, you know, I'm not, I don't have a problem with any organization that wants to peacefully have a conversation with all communities, including the white and the law enforcement community, on how we can end this polarization between communities, and a polarization that has actually grown tremendously just over the last 6 years. And I think part of it is a direct result of the current administration that is really a divider rather than a uniter. But all that being said, where I separate and where I draw the line, and I think where most Americans draw the line, is once an organization, for whatever good reasons that they establish themselves for, in this particular reason, the Black Lives Matter purports to want to end, you know, alleged police brutality. And by the way, there is police brutality upon occasion. However, it's basically an aberration. It just, when you think that we have 900,000 police officers or peace officers working in the United States, we make tens of millions of contacts with the public a year. Only 1 to 2% of all the contacts that we have end in a use of force as a result of some sort of resistance. And out of those, on a yearly basis, only approximately 120 blacks are killed or die as a result of that encounter, either from officer-involved shootings or in-custody deaths, I mean, which equates to basically one black person per every 78,000th of a contact, all right, is, you know, I mean, those kind of figures are hard to imagine. So that's what I mean by an aberration.
And I want to clarify what you just said, if I could, Doctor. I want to clarify what you just said. That one person in every 78,000 contacts, that's just, those are the people who are killed. That doesn't mean unjustifiably. It doesn't mean shot unarmed while handing out candy to kids. Because the narrative. That's what people say.
And by the way, Bob, this is not just a statistic coming from me. And here's the problem that we have, both with the media and the general public, and we have these activists throwing out these figures, and we can talk more about that. I just wrote an article that'll appear today about this false narrative that's been on the internet and put out and has been quoted, that police kill unarmed black men every 28 hours. That is absolutely a false narrative. It's even been refuted and denied by the person whose name is Arlene Eason, a pseudo-researcher that made this comment in a report that she created back in 2013. But anyway, here's the statistics. Approximately 120 black males die a year in police encounters where force is used. The total population, estimated population by the United States Department of Sentence of black males is 173,871. Okay, that's one. I mean, considering the whole population of black males, that is one black male out of 173,871 dying at the hands of police for some reason. Okay, and that's where we get this, a ratio of 78 thousandths of 1% of black males being killed by police uses of force. That's far different than one black male, being killed every 28 hours. So, I think people need to stop with these false narratives. If we are going to have a conversation on how to move all of our communities forward where all lives matter, we need to start that conversation by speaking the truth. But to go back to your other, comment about the organization is basically founded on false narratives. Hands up, don't shoot is a false narrative that came out of the Ferguson, Missouri, Officer Wilson, Michael Brown case that was forensically proven by the United States Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, that never happened. Some of the people that made that initial comment now have recanted that comment. Nobody was prosecuted as a result of that. As a matter of fact, the guy that was, I believe it was Wilson's partner during that strong-armed robbery who first made that comment, I believe
you mean
the
Michael
county
Brown's
of St.
partner.
Louis not only didn't prosecute him, they gave him a job.
Right. Michael Brown's partner, you mean, not Officer Wilson's.
No, not Officer Wilson's partner, right. Michael Brown's partner. So this is a militant organization, and they do not back away from violent statements that their members make.
Right, and that's very important to say, and that's one of the things I wanted to point out too, Dr. Martinelli, because we saw what happened outside the Minnesota State Fair with the chanting about pigs in a blanket and fry them like bacon, etc. I didn't hear any national denouncement of that by the organization's leaders. And the worst part about this too is even when someone follows up, it's not only the Black Lives Matter, which is very divisive in its nature, which is a problem rather than bringing unity. It brings separation. When somebody follows that up by saying, wait a minute, all lives matter, they take an offense to that, as if they don't know only the black ones matter. How are we supposed to bring people, races, and communities with police together if we're going to practice the politics of division like that?
Well, I totally agree. And I think the first ways that you start that is, number one, first of all, educate yourself to what the real statistics are and what the circumstances of police contacts are, number one. Number two, verify, do your due diligence. That information is out there. United States Department of Justice has statistics, verifiable statistics. Use those things, all right? And if you want to talk about the problems that we have in policing...
Let me interrupt if I can, Dr. Martinelli.
Listen, I'm gonna join you in that conversation because I'm involved in it in my practice. I handle both sides. I handle, I specialize in death cases, and I do both sides. My advocacy is for facts and evidence.
Doctor, I want to interrupt only because we need to take a time out here, but also to say I totally agree with you. We need to use those statistics. The problem is only those who are willing and interested in them are going to have to hunt to find them, because the mainstream media, you know, will not blast this out to people and say, look, here are the facts. That's the problem. Dr. Martinelli, I want to ask you to hold on. We'll get a traffic report here. We'll come right back. By the way, Dr. Ron Martinelli, who joins us on these matters, will take your phone calls as well. If you have a question or comment you would like to make and engage in this discussion, 216-901-0945, 216-901-0945, and we'll be right back.
Now, the answer on traffic.
On 90 eastbound at West Boulevard, your right shoulder is blocked there due to an accident. There's also an accident on West 185th at Pyrrhotus Avenue, and slow traffic 71 northbound between the MetroHealth Curve and the Inner Belt Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by Conrad's Tire Express and Total Car Care.
Computer diagnostics, radiators, air conditioning, tune-ups. There's only one name you need.
Conrad!
35-plus locations, one simple stop for tires, maintenance, and repair.
And now you know what's going on. I'm Daniel Buchanan on AM 1420, The Answer.
Hey, Bob France here for The Floor King. Do you like taxes? Neither do I. Nobody likes taxes. And guess what? The Floor King doesn't either. They are going to give you a tax holiday. That's right. When you call 216-631-4400, schedule your free in-home estimate. That's right, free in-home estimate. And you tell them whether you're looking for carpet or tile or vinyl or hardwood flooring. Already the best prices that you're going to find in all of Northeast Ohio. You're also going to get a tax holiday. The Floor King will pay your entire sales tax on your entire purpose. That's right. Or purchase, I should say. And don't forget, you also get 0% financing for 4 years. That's 4 years interest-free. Don't pay a penny of interest until 2019. Forget about the $99 gimmick places. Stay away from the big box stores. You get yourself to the Floor King like I do each and every time I have flooring needs. 216-631-4400. That's 216-631-4400. Take advantage of the tax holiday. Also online at clevelandfloorking.com. That's clevelandfloorking.com. The Floor King. Our prices will floor you.
Imagine getting away from the buzz of daily life and enjoying 700 acres of beautiful landscapes. Get 50% off an overnight stay and breakfast for two at the beautiful Quail Hollow Resort in Painesville. At Quail Hollow Resort, you can relax by the pool, spend the day at the spa, or play a round of golf at one of their two championship golf courses. Enjoy delicious food at CK's Steakhouse. Get all this and more for 50% off. Only $74.50, but hurry, certificates are limited. Head to our fish market at 955thefish.com to get yours.
Hi, folks. Alan Thick here. You know, some things in life are just too serious to take chances on, and owing money to the IRS is definitely one of those. The IRS has the power to garnish your paycheck. They can levy your bank account, even take your home or business. Seriously. Thankfully, with one simple call, you can start solving your tax debt once and for all. Optima Tax Relief is the leading tax resolution firm in the nation. They have over 250 professionals. They have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau and the trust of thousands of satisfied clients. Optima's attorneys can immediately protect you from aggressive collections because they are experts in the Fresh Start Initiative. That's a special IRS debt forgiveness program that could save you thousands. Don't wait till it's too late. Get serious. Call Optima now for your free consultation.
Call 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Fall flooring season is on, and the Lumber Liquidators flooring experts can help you find the best deals on the hottest looks in flooring. Right now, we've got incredible deals on easy-to-install laminate engineered floors and more, like our thickest, beautiful acacia laminate for only 99 cents. Or get 10% off Schoen engineered pre-finished hardwood floors, plus Morningstar natural strand bamboo for only $2.69. Or get gorgeous, solid, hand-scraped mahogany hardwood at 27% off, with more amazing deals in your store. And 12-month special financing. Sales going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Mike Gallagher, coming up at 11 on AM 1420, The Answer.
Onward we roll. It is 10:23. Good morning to you. The Bob France Authority continuing on AM 1420, The Answer, with our guest, Dr. Ron Martinelli, Ph.D. Dr. Martinelli is a forensic criminologist and police practices expert. He's also a retired police detective in San Jose, California, talking to us about Black Lives Matter, talking to us about some of the, well, what I want to talk about now, actually, Doctor, is some of these, because we're dealing with it here in Cleveland, Ohio, there was a consent decree signed by the city with the Department of Justice changing the way police practice law enforcement. A lot of the things that you pointed out that have been debunked already have led to what I believe to be, and talking to local law enforcement officers here, what I believe to be policies that are going to make it more dangerous for officers to do their jobs effectively. And so I'd like to talk about what it is that can be done, if anything, when you have leaders, whether they be mayors or chiefs of police, being kind of strong-armed, pressured by the Department of Justice, the leadership at the highest levels that we talked about before, and being forced to acquiesce and cave into their demands, which makes it more dangerous for the guys walking the beats.
Well, sure, Bob, and let me provide you and your listeners with some context. I am extremely familiar with the Cleveland Police Department and the city of Cleveland. I've been involved in major high-profile investigations myself and my forensic death investigations and independent review team. I'm intimately knowledgeable about the Officer Michael Brillo case, the Tamir Rice case, you know, cases such as this. So I've been on the streets of Cleveland, have seen, have spoken with many of the police officers, obviously have been involved in these investigations. But to talk with your point, I think one of the most important things that we need is a credible independent review of these you know, serious uses of forces that subsequently become high-profile cases. I know that in the Michael Brillo case, I had a intense opportunity to review the investigation that was done by the local prosecutor and even testified in that case. And to be quite frank with you, I saw that as a political rather than a forensic investigation of the facts and circumstances. Many of the facts and circumstances were completely misstated and not forensically understood by the prosecutor's office. And, of course, it was a tragedy that all of that happened. But when you take a look at the facts and evidence and you really break them down, the end game, whether or not somebody dies from that, is a factual and forensic search for the truth and not a political one.
I think you're spot on, particularly on the Brillo case, and I won't go through the minutia of the Tamir Rice case, which I think is also, if it is indeed prosecuted, going to be political and not forensic and not scientific, I think, in any way, because the video is very, very plain. But having said that, speaking less of the real high-profile cases like those and just more to the edicts handed down by the Department of Justice and agreed upon by the city of Cleveland, with respect to how cops are going to do their jobs. For example, they want to improve and improve community policing and engage citizens more directly by putting officers back on beat patrols on foot rather than in their cruisers. And talking to local leaders here and law enforcement officers here, you know, what is the point of being a block and a half away from your cruiser when a call comes in that they need help from the nearest possible, you know, units? You know, you're going to have to run back to your car for two blocks. Hey, it's great that he gets to go out and shake some hands on the beat and talk to folks. But again, officers' lives are going to be in more danger, as are potentially citizens that they're supposed to respond to and save.
Well, sure, Bob, but let me just handle this one very briefly, because when I was with the San Jose Police Department, which is a very large city, I actually worked, I actually walked the beat. I used to get out of my car and walk certain areas of downtown neighborhoods, making sure that I was never very far from my car. But the community interaction is actually priceless to be able to do that. However, that being said, you have to have infrastructure in order to do that, and infrastructure is costly. What do I mean by that? You have to have sufficient officers on the street that you're paying to be on the street in order to allow officers with that opportunity to literally get out of their cars and you know, and walk and meet and talk with people, and that's how biases are broken down. That's how stereotypes are broken down, both racially and also between law enforcement and the general community. However, if you don't have the money to hire the numbers of officers that are needed to allow officers to be able to walk temporarily a foot beat, then you know your program is not going to be viable.
Exactly, and therein lies the rub in Cleveland. Therein lies the rub. They're already understaffed.
They're running from call to call, Bob. The poor officers in Cleveland are running from call to call. There's so much crime there.
Exactly, and such a low number of staffing or level of staffing, it would be impossible for. And I agree with you. I think every one of them would love to be able to go ahead and walk around and shake hands and toss the ball with the kid on the street and let them know that, hey, we're here, we're your friends, we're here to protect you, not to harm you. But as you pointed out, if you don't have the sufficient number of officers on the beat, if you don't have enough manpower to make sure that all of the actual calls can be met, we don't have time to be walking around and talking with people. And that's a big thing. By the way, breaking news story here, and I would like to get your thoughts on this after another break if we can, Dr. Martinelli. The suspect in the murder of that Kentucky State Trooper, originally reported as captured, has been shot and killed by police. Now it's being reported he refused to drop his weapon and surrender when he was found, and they have shot and killed him. There's a press conference going on right now. So when
we
come back... Yeah, I'd like to talk about that and just the number of police officers doing routine traffic stops, making routine calls, who are being targeted and being shot. It seems to be an epidemic, and I'd like to talk about their safety on that if we can in just a moment. Dr. Ron Martinelli is my guest. We'll continue with him right after the news on AM 1420, The Answer.
News, opinion, insight. This is AM 1420, The Answer.
The latest polls keep Trump up top. It's 10:30, 60 degrees downtown. I'm Amy Murphy. More on that coming up.
What's going on with weather and traffic? We've got the answer.
The mercury starts heading back toward the top of the thermometer today as mainly sunny skies bring highs in the low to mid 70s. Fair and cool tonight with lows in the lower 50s. Mainly sunny tomorrow and a high near 80 degrees. I'm meteorologist John Laufman for AM 1420, The Answer.
Just one accident to report. That's on 480 eastbound before West 150th. Your left lane's going to be blocked there. Then all you have to worry about is light volume traffic on 480 eastbound between Broadway Avenue and Warrensville Center Road. That's your traffic for you. I'm Daniel Buchanan on AM 1420, The Answer.
Republican voters are making it clear they're fed up with politics as usual. The latest Washington Post ABC News poll shows billionaire real estate developer Donald Trump is the leading Republican with 33%, while retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson has 20% support. On the Democratic side, former Secretary of State, Senator, and First Lady Hillary Clinton has the support of 42% of Democrats nationwide. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is second with 24%, and Vice President Joe Biden is third at 21%. Biden has yet to decide whether to run for the party's nomination. Cleveland police are looking for the suspects in a deadly drive-by shooting on the city's east side. It happened Saturday outside a convenience store at Martin Luther King Drive and Dove Avenue. 24-year-old David Kaswani was just stepping out of the store when people inside a red car opened fire as they drove by. It's 60 degrees in downtown Cleveland at 10:32. I'm Amy Murphy. The Bob France Authority continues on AM 1420, The Answer.
For hours of good, clean family fun, log on to GodTube.com. Your favorite Christian inspirational videos, music videos, comedians, and more. Available 24/7 at GodTube.com.
This is a Bloomberg Market Minute. Federal Reserve policymakers will meet Wednesday and Thursday this week to decide whether to hike rates for the first time since 2006. Investors are betting the Fed will not make a move this week. Stocks are lower to kick off the week. Apple said its new iPhone models are on pace to surpass last year's record first weekend of 10 million units. They said customer response to the iPhone 6S and iPhone 6S Plus has been extremely positive, and pre-orders this weekend were very strong around the world. The United Auto Workers says Fiat Chrysler will be the lead target in negotiations for a new contract between the union and three Detroit automakers. The union is looking for the first raise in about a decade, while General Motors, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler are hoping to hold the line so that they can compete with foreign rivals that have lower costs at their U.S. factories. Women's apparel chain Chico's is weighing a sale of the company after being approached by private equity buyers. And that is according to people familiar with the matter. Courtney Donahoe, Bloomberg Radio.
Hey, it's Bob France, and the second Republican primary debate is coming. It's on Wednesday, September 16th, and I want to invite you to join me as we watch it together at Dax's Place at 5 p.m. in Broadview Heights. Join me and other like-minded conservatives for a debate watch party. Your ticket gets you a free appetizer and draft, as well as 20% off your entire entree. Call 216-901-0921 to get your ticket now. Join me for the watch party at Dax's Place, 7979 Broadview Road. Again, call 216-901-0921.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 9 on AM 1420. The Answer.
Hearing loss is a growing health issue among young adults and older Americans, affecting more than 48 million people nationwide. Now is the time to preserve your hearing, limiting exposure to loud noises, using ear protection when attending sports events or music concerts, and following the 60-60 rule, limiting the use of earbud headphones to 60 minutes at a time and at 60% of maximum volume. Talk to your hearing health care provider or your physician and schedule a hearing test. Go to hearingloss.org. A public service message from the Hearing Loss Association of America, High Health Innovations, and this station.
Mike Gallagher. Weekday mornings at 11 on AM 1420. The Answer.
Bob France Authority continues now at 10:34 and AM 1420. The Answer with my guest, Dr. Ron Martinelli, who joins us live from California. I believe, are you still in San Jose, doctor?
No, actually, our offices are down near San Diego, California now.
Oh, my goodness. You live in the perfect climate, in the country. Yes, you do. You're very blessed. Dr. Martinelli is a forensic criminologist and a police practices expert. And yes, he is taking your calls. We just had some people call and say, hey, is he going to answer any questions from other people? Yes, he is. Dr. Martinelli will answer your questions. 216-901-0945. Right now, we will get you up and on the air. 216-901-0945. But, doctor, I want to ask this about the situation we just saw in Kentucky. It's sadly, unfortunately, becoming far too common. But a Kentucky state trooper killed at about 10:20 last night. The suspect fled on foot. He was eventually found and cornered, or apparently ordered to stop, ordered to surrender his weapon. He did not, and he was shot and killed. So we can talk, it was an African-American shooter. We can talk a little bit more about that climate and that environment again, but specifically, officers doing routine things no longer can just count on cooperation from motorists. Do they have to approach every single car that they approach, every single call that they respond to, as if this is somebody who's about to take a pot shot at them?
Well, you know, officers are trained to be extremely vigilant and never to be, relaxed in anything we do. By the way, our statistics show us that 25% of us are killed on car stops. Another 25% are killed on domestic violence, and the remaining are killed in suspicious circumstances incidents. So car stops, believe me, I've done thousands of them. I've had some life-threatening experiences in a number of them. They are extremely, they can be extremely risky.
Doctor, let's talk about this and the latest thing that you wrote on your website. By the way, take a look at Dr. Martinelli's website. It is drronmartinelli.com. No spaces or punctuation. It's drronmartinelli.com. America's Turning Point, Officer-Directed Violence and the Decision to Support or Oppose Police. Obviously, we're talking now about officer-directed violence. How much of an impact does the President of the United States saying that an officer responding to a burglary call in Cambridge acted stupidly for daring to ask for the identification of the person who came out? Those kinds of things have an impact on how people view police, do they not?
Oh, no, absolutely. Especially when you have the opportunity to have a black president and basically a black law enforcement administrative head, like we have with Eric Holder and now Attorney General Lynch, this affects all communities. It should affect all communities in a very positive way. But what we've seen with this administration is because this particular president does not take time to get his forensic facts right before he opens up his mouth. He creates tremendous skepticism and dissension in the black community with respect to the way they look at law enforcement, and actually empowers movements such as Black Lives Matter to be more distrustful of law enforcement. when if people take a look at the forensic facts of the Professor Gates and Sergeant Crowley incident, and if they go to the website, they can actually see the forensic article on what really happened. You know, that they can see that that statement was obtuse and it was ill-informed.
Doctor, are officers becoming more hesitant to do their jobs if force is required, simply because they know that, you know, they could be being videotaped at any time from any different angle, and if somebody views it the wrong way, a rogue prosecutor like the one in Baltimore County, like the one here in Cuyahoga County, and I believe that's what Tim McGinty is, a rogue prosecutor out with political intentions in mind. Are they more hesitant? And I ask that with this incident in mind. In Birmingham, Alabama, 3 weeks ago, an officer was pistol whipped with his own weapon into unconsciousness. They posted pictures of it, did the perpetrators online, made fun, talked about how they pistol whipped him to sleep. And this was his own gun. Now, if he had pulled that gun and used it before the individual got a hold of it, of course, it would have been another headline that said, unarmed black man shot by a police officer. In this case, though, he didn't pull it in time, and he was beaten nearly to death with it. Are cops hesitating too much now? And if not, you know, if they are, what can we do?
Well, that's a sort of a complex question.
I'm
a forensic guy. I don't like to speculate. What I will tell you is that, you know, I do have a nationwide presence. I travel all over the country and speak with peace officers about their jobs, write for a number of law enforcement and forensic magazines. I will tell you that every police officer has a different mindset. Some police officers will continue to be proactive and continue to be professional in how they do things. But there is, in the police officers that I talk with, there is a reluctancy, and not necessarily to do their job, but there's a reluctancy to want to get involved sometimes in things that are more proactive types of policing strategies, because they don't know, or they question whether the administration of their police department or of their municipal government really has their back. And that's a dangerous place to be. Police officers want to know if when they do their jobs right, they will be appreciated, and they will be supported for that work rather than, you know, politically investigated.
Dr. Ron Martinelli is my guest. Doctor, you mentioned the Brillo case here in Cleveland. But outside of Brillo, the other 13 individuals, 13 shooters involved in that case from November of 2012, they're all facing disciplinary hearings now. And the main charge is that they went outside their training. When their argument would be, we're trained to survive, and that's the bottom line, what they're trying to do in that situation. Can you talk about that aspect of this particular case and what they're trained to do, and whether or not they would be outside their training if they detect
a
threat,
you know,
if somebody is trying to drive a car and run down an officer?
Sure, Bob. And just because the Brillo case is such a complicated case, I had about 60 patrol officers. We had a prolonged vehicle pursuit. We had, a tremendous, probably the biggest crime scene I've ever seen, 139 rounds fired in 17 and a half seconds. I mean, it was just, if you can imagine a crime scene like that with 13 shooting officers. But to get to the point, what we look for, there's basically three sets of guidelines that officers have to follow in the field. Number one, there's your state statutes or your state laws. Number two, there's civil rights, constitutional guidelines. And number three, there's administrative policy. When it comes to survival, a lot of times administrative policy falls out the window. And even in a criminal or civil case, it doesn't really come into play. It may, you know, put some icing on the cake for a plaintiff or a prosecutor to say that they didn't necessarily follow policy. But the key fact and the theme, whether it's a civil case or criminal case, is did the officers, in consideration of what we refer to as totality of circumstances, did they act in an objectively reasonable manner? And in the Brillo case, also officers have a right to be wrong, to make mistakes, based on totality of circumstances. Now, in the Brillo case, it is in fact a forensic fact that the two suspects, Russell and Williams, were not armed. However, you had a multitude of officers stating that Williams was pointing a gun at them and was trying to shoot at them. Then you had some things happen, such as the car was, it was an older car, it was backfiring. People, not only officers, but civilian witnesses were ducking and saying there were shots fired. When we got to the scene, they literally tried to run one of the officers down. Then the officer fired upon that vehicle in defense of his life, and a call of shots fired went out on the radio with officers quickly merging into the crime scene. So the officers are thinking, based on everything else, that the suspects are firing at the officers. Then the suspect vehicle deliberately smashed into another patrol car that was adjacent to Brelo's that were there to block them, peacefully and safely block the vehicle. Instead, the suspects crashed into that patrol car and then came directly towards Officer Brelo and his female partner. And it, the officers state that the female passenger in the car, Williams, was pointing what they thought was a gun at them. And, of course, the vehicle is coming to smash deliberately into them at very close distances. Both Brelo and his female partner fired upon that vehicle directly through the front windshield. Now, consider that for a second. Now you're an officer looking at this from outside the Brelo vehicle, and all of a sudden you see the front windshield of the Brelo patrol car being demolished by gunfire. Based on everything you're thinking at the time, do you think the officers are firing through their windshield, or do you think the suspects are firing upon the police vehicle? See, those are the things that the public, the general public, didn't understand the dynamics of that, and the prosecutor tried to just fluff over that. And I have to be quite frank with you, they definitely didn't bring their A-game to that prosecution. Had they done that and reviewed it and looked at it forensically instead of politically, nobody would have been charged in that case whatsoever.
And that's exactly the point. It was never going to be looked at forensically because political considerations do trump the truth when you're trying to please a certain segment of the population, a segment of the voting population, and you are an elected official, as the prosecutor is. We're talking with Dr. Ron Martinelli. We're very lucky to have him. Dr. Martinelli is a regular guest on Fox News and on CNN and other national high-profile programs. To get him here is a real blessing for us. I know you have questions for him, and Doctor, as long as you can hang on for one more traffic here, we'll get some of those questions from our listeners, okay?
I'll be more than happy to do that.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you very much. Dr. Ron Martinelli joining us, talking about police matters in ways that really the rest of us cannot. His expertise speaks for itself. We'll be right back.
Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Answer on traffic.
No disabled vehicles to report. The only thing you have to worry about is an accident blocking your left lane on 480 eastbound before West 150th. This traffic report is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is the perfect option for a busy parent to take temperature without fuss or stress. A gentle forehead scan is all you need. Pick one up at Walmart or other fine retailers today. And now you know what's going on. I'm Daniel Buchanan on AM 1420, The Answer.
Hey, and I'm Bob France here for Kowalski Ford. Once again, Kowalski Ford in beautiful Avon Lake. If you are looking for a new vehicle, you really, really need to check this. All I'm asking and all I've ever asked, I'm not saying buy your car from Kowalski. That's a very personal decision. You're talking about tens of thousands of dollars in most cases. And the second, probably most cases, the second biggest purchase you're ever going to make after your home when you buy a car. So I'm not going to say, hey, buy it here. That's not for me to tell you. What I'm asking you to do is shop there. When you look around, you're going to look in multiple places. We all do. Include Kowalski Ford in your search. And what you're going to find there is a dealership that treats people right. It's going to be a dealership that doesn't treat you like a stat, a check mark on a sales chart, towards some sort of a contest so somebody can go to Hawaii because they sold more cars. There's no quotas. There's no markups. This is a dealership that you can trust. And when you're looking for a new Highline Ford vehicle like the new Ford F-150 Platinum, King Ranch, and Lariat models, well, that's the place you want to start. Kowalski Ford is in beautiful Avon Lake on Lake Road, about a mile west of Route 83. Kowalski Ford, just get there.
The movie Captive is a powerful, true story of faith over fear.
Police looking for Brian Nichols.
A man on the run.
You scream again and I'll have to kill you.
A woman held captive.
My name is Ashley.
In your darkest hour, who will you turn to?
God, please help me.
What is that?
The book, The Purpose-Driven Life.
Read it to me.
God expects you to make the most of what you have been given.
Could you forgive me?
I don't know. Maybe God can.
Captive. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters Friday. For group sales and tickets, visit CaptiveTheMovie.com.
I see
10:48, the Bob France Authority continues. And again, we are very fortunate to have Dr. Ron Martinelli joining us. Check his website out online, drronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. You are going to be very interested in what you read there. We're sharing as much of this as we can with you. Before we go to phone call here real quick, Dr. Martinelli, one final thought on that Brillo situation, and you just explained it very thoroughly. They continue to be called by the press, and certainly they were during the, talking about the suspects, Russell and Williams, unarmed. They were unarmed. They were unarmed when they were shot 137 times, et cetera, et cetera. They were unarmed. When somebody is behind the wheel of a vehicle, you know, a 3,000-pound vehicle is a pretty doggone deadly weapon as far as I'm concerned. And when somebody is going for your weapon, I hear these things about unarmed, unarmed all the time. When somebody tries to arm themselves by trying to take an officer's weapon, like, for example, Michael Brown did, or when they're behind the wheel of a car, how do we get away with calling them unarmed?
Well, you know, first of all, people are going to be able to say whatever they want to say, and you know, the mainstream media, their big mistake is they're uninformed, and then they try to forward these same statements without vetting them. I actually did an entire video presentation for CNN News, you know, talking about unarmed people and armed people and their ability to seriously injure or kill officers. The Michael Brown, Officer Wilson case was an excellent example of that. When you say that you're unarmed, that can be a forensic fact, but if he is engaging the officer and he is unarmed, but he's trying to grab the officer's gun or he's beating the officer senseless and has that ability to create serious bodily injury or even death, those are the guidelines that officers deploy deadly force under. So when you say they're unarmed, you must look at the totality of circumstance, everything that's happening, and then the determination is whether the officer, understanding these things that are happening in a very fluid, rapidly evolving event, does that constitute a sufficient life threat to warrant the application of deadly force?
And that would include a vehicle, right? An automobile is a weapon.
A vehicle is absolutely a deadly weapon. And there are a large percentages, and if you go on that, thank you so much for mentioning my site. If you go on that site, all of the statistics of how officers are injured and killed are available. And I also would encourage them to get on the Department of Justice website, because this information is readily available. You can look it up in less than 5 minutes.
Dr. Ron Martinelli is my guest. We'll take some phone calls. Dr. Martinelli, forensic criminologist, police practices expert, and a former detective in San Jose, California. TJ has got a question for Dr. Martinelli, and let me make sure I don't disconnect one while talking to the other. TJ, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, TJ, you're on the air with Dr. Martinelli.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Dr. Martinelli, I know you don't like to deal in the speculative, but, you know, like with this, I got to ask you a hypothetical question. With this Black Lives Matter, you know, there's the open call for killing of police and whites. You hear nothing from the White House or the Justice Department. Now, if the tables were turned and say this was a white supremacist group out there openly calling for the murder of policemen and black people, do you think that this Justice Department and White House would bring the full weight of the federal government down on these organizations to put it to a stop?
Well, thank you so much for your question. I don't think, yes, it is. It is any type of hypothetical situation. Like, I get a lot of these from attorneys, and the reason they give you those is so you will speculate. The only thing that I will tell you, TJ, and I think you know this, is that just take a look at the behavioral history of this White House and their administration and the Department of Justice, and that should give you your answer.
Right. And, as a white person, I really feel, according to this administration and Justice Department, our lives don't matter. They just simply don't. You know, their silence is saying that.
Well, you know, I don't know how to respond to that, but I think that the listeners hear what you're saying, and they might have, you know, similar feelings to you. I will just say that I've been extremely disappointed by this administration and the current, just the recent past Justice Department and the Attorney General for not getting in and taking close looks at this. I will give them credit for getting to the facts in the Michael Brown, Officer Wilson, officer-involved shooting. They did get it right. They were able to forensically prove that Officer Wilson was completely justified in his use of application of deadly force against Michael Brown under those circumstances.
You know, that's true, but they didn't follow up with what they should have. You know, really come to the people and really push the point that this officer was exonerated.
That's because Eric Holder only did so reluctantly. What he found, he did not want to find, and I'm sure, Dr. Martinelli, you would agree, what he found in this investigation was what he was hoping not to find. He wanted to find some reason, some violation of civil rights on the part of Darren Wilson, and therefore on the state of Missouri, to charge them with, and he couldn't. You know, four autopsies done, I think? Four different autopsies, some private order by the family, by the county, by everybody, and they all pointed to the exact same thing. And once the witnesses who lied about hands up started recanting and saying, all right, it didn't really happen that way, we were caught up in the movement, it was over. And that is something Eric Holder did not want to have to acknowledge.
You know, let me say this. You know, because I work both sides, first of all, anytime someone is killed, no matter what race they are, okay, the public has a right to know. They have legitimate questions. They want to know what the circumstances were. They want to know why somebody was killed by police. Police have the power, instantaneous power of life and death, you know, which is far removed from the courts that can take years to make these decisions. But that being stated, if a good independent and forensic investigation is done and circumstances are proven to, you know, certain circumstances are proven to be the case where an officer does justifiably use deadly force, that needs to be the end of it. We need to move the emotions out and learn from that. And conversely, when it's shown that officers have not acted appropriately and they've used deadly force inappropriately and unlawfully, and certainly I've represented a number of those cases as well, then the officer needs to be held accountable both criminally and or civilly.
Dr. Martinelli, how far would it go in your mind toward bringing peace and bringing some sort of semblance of order back to the streets? Because I think even the president would have to agree. Right now, it's a crisis. We're at a crisis level. The anti-police animosity that is out there, police are nervous as all get out. They're worried about either facing a coroner or a judge and jury, no matter what they do. If the president would just make a statement, and not a half-hearted statement, but a prime-time address, and just call for the restoration of law and order, and to tell not just Black Lives Matter, but everybody, tell everybody, look, we cannot continue this way. Police officers are to be respected. They are to be obeyed. You need to follow the law. If you feel like one of them has overstepped their bounds, the time to challenge that is not on a street with resistance that could lead to something physical. The time for that is in a court. The time for that is when you file a complaint with review boards, etc. I mean, there are things that we can do. I just think that if the president would stand up and demand that everybody knock this off, it would go so much, so far, in terms of morale for the officers and a sense of safety for the citizens again.
Well, you know, I wish I could say something positive there, but I won't speculate and try to gauge what the president's going to do or what he should do. I can just look at behavior. But you know what? To keep it local for just a second, Bob, let me take this opportunity to thank the citizens of Cleveland, to thank the religious and social services organizations, and to thank the Cleveland Police Officers Association, people like Steve Loomis, the president of the association, his administration, for all working together, and also LeBron James, you know, your basketball team out there, under the curtain, under the radar, he did a lot to focus the citizens in a more positive and progressive way after the Brelo situation. Your city was unique in avoiding violence and riots and damage and death. So I would just like to just give a shout out to all the citizens of Cleveland and everybody that participated in maintaining the calm and common sense there after the Brelo situation.
Well, you know what? A lot of people around the country have been asking the question, why didn't Cleveland burn? And you're right. It's due to some very, very strong leadership by a lot of very important people, including the police chief, including certainly the entire police force here, and to an extent the mayor's office, although I don't necessarily hold him in high regard when it comes to law enforcement. But you're right. Cleveland has done a great job of handling things. We'll see if they can continue to do so when the decision is made whether to indict or not Officer Lohman in the Tamir Rice case. And when that happens, Doctor, I hope we can have the opportunity to talk to you again.
No problem. And thank you so much for this opportunity, mentioning the website, and I'll be more than happy to join you and your listeners again anytime you'd like.
It would be our pleasure to have you. Thank you so much. Dr. Ron Martinelli, and find him on drronmartinelli.com, as I mentioned, drronmartinelli.com. This is a big-time guy. He is often referred to as America's forensic criminologist. He is just a big-time player in the game, if you will, as he is on CNN. He's on Fox News. He is on national programs all the time. To have him here in Cleveland on this program is a good thing for all of us. All right, that's it. We are winding it down. Really, really good conversations today. I enjoyed the chat with Congressman Jim Jordan, as well as the conversation. I don't know if enjoy is the right thing. It's an important conversation. The late breaking news, if you did not hear it as we were talking with Dr. Martinelli, is that the individual who was earlier reported to have been captured, the one who shot the police officer, the trooper, I should say, state trooper in Kentucky last night, was not captured. He refused to surrender his weapon when ordered. He was shot and killed by police. That situation is fluid and developing, and we'll have more for you, of course, during our newscast throughout the day here on AM 1420, The Answer. Gallagher is next, then Prager, Medved, Hewitt, Levin. It is the all-star conservative lineup. Don't go anywhere else. If your radio is on today, it should be here on AM 1420, The Answer. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 9. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Great God in heaven, you know I love you.